Hello, Times Square Church family. What a joy and an honor and privilege to be with you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. You may be seated. I just want to say what a beautiful evening it is out there in New York City. But the presence of God makes this place an oasis and a true garden. We're so glad that you came tonight because it's amazing to see a full sanctuary on a Tuesday night. I just want to thank you to Pastor Tim for this invitation to speak, and it always is a privilege to be back here among you and to be able to speak. Your Bible School Summit, we recently had a graduation, and my. It was a beautiful event, and the presence of God was there. And if you are interested and want to see what your generosity to the school, what your prayer does, what your physical presence when you come and visit us does, if you want to go to summitpa.org and click that link to see our graduation, I believe you'll be greatly encouraged that the Lord has not given up on this generation. And as Pastor Carter always says, it is a wise generation that invests in light in a time of darkness. And thank you for investing in this school and all that it means to the hundreds of students that have gone through Summit and are now, by the grace of God, learning to live for the benefit of others. I've seen a few alumni here tonight. I give a shout out to you and a thank you. Thank you for your love, your prayer support. If you ever get a chance to come visit us, next week would be ideal for next weekend because Summit is having a women's conference next Saturday at May 15th and 16th, sorry. And we just want to warmly welcome all the ladies of this house. Our speaker will be Pastor Esther Ibanga from Jos, Nigeria. If you've ever heard this woman of God, she is powerful. And she is anointed, and I'll be joining her to bring these messages. So if you are interested in coming, you can go to our website, which is summitpa.org, and you can register there, and you can get all the information. And we give a very warm welcome to all the young ladies and the women in this house to join us next weekend. Last Sunday, Pastor Carter did teach on New Covenant, and it was so powerful. And I echo what Pastor Patrick has said, that it is a life-changing message. And I encourage you to listen to it. Even if you're brand new to the Lord, even if you're new coming here tonight, click on that from last Sunday and listen to New Covenant Plain and Simple, Part 1 and 2. And that New Covenant message is not just powerful, but it is our power in which we stand in the last days. It is that our source of freedom. It is our source of endurance. It's our source of being able to fight the battle in our mind and fight the battle of our heart. And we get to shame the devil every time we hear what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is to us. So it makes us secure in the love of Jesus. I encourage you to go and listen to that. And I do want to say that that series of messages was truly what prompted me to bring this message to you tonight. And I just had such a sense in my heart tonight that there are some people here that you could be in such spiritual opposition, you don't even understand what is coming against you or why. There may be unknown reasons for it, or there are people here tonight experiencing deep discouragement. There may be people here tonight that are battling a depression, a loneliness, and a despair. And this message I felt tonight, there are people in the heat of these kinds of battles, and I felt like the Lord say tonight, I'm going to touch tonight because there are mighty men and women of God in this place, and why you are battling and how you are battling is God has come to touch you in a profound and a beautiful way because he's raising you up, because he is going to use you. There are mighty men and mighty women of God in this place sitting before me tonight that God is going to be faithful to you. And I pray that we can receive that word. And so I would like us to, the title of my message tonight is Explosions of Hope. Explosions of Hope. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 7 is our reading tonight, Luke chapter 7. And we're going to read Luke 7 from 11 to 16, Luke 7, 11 to 16. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you tonight for your living word. I ask you, Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher tonight. Holy Spirit, touch us. Lord Jesus, do what it is that you long to do. I thank you that you will bring breakthrough. I thank you, you will touch us in places that needs your loving and powerful hand. And I thank you, Lord, you will be faithful to your word because you love us and you gave yourself for us. So have your way and we will be grateful and we'll be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting Luke 7, verses 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier that they bare him, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. The story starts by naming a village called Nain. And that village name, Nain, actually means a pleasant place. Yet coming out of that place is a stream or a crowd of people that have been touched by death, depression, and despair. It is a picture of many people can see themselves. There is a public face that we can have that is pleasant enough. A public face that we present where we can be together. But contrast that to a private despair that can coexist at the same time with our public face of pleasantness can be an indwelling despair and battles of deep discouragement, of darkness and confusion. And if we look deeper into this message, we see that there are two crowds coming together and they are on a collision course. One is coming out of the city, and it is a crowd led by an open coffin. A young man, his widowed mother, and many, many mourners coming out behind. The scripture says much people were with her. A procession of death and a procession of tears. Who knows the story of these people? But it greatly affected many people who crowded out following out of the city following this coffin. Another crowd at the same time was coming into the city, led by Jesus. And following him was a group of people that had witnessed miracles, had seen him heal the sick. They had heard the words of life that he has spoken, and they have been moved, and their lives have been changed by his word. The Spirit of God with him was so profound that they could feel chains break. They could feel life coming into them. They felt seen and loved by him. In other words, they were buoyant with hope. And they were going to meet at the city gate, and the city gate is symbolic where important decisions are made, where strategic and critical decisions are made. And in the timing and the plan of God was perfect because this crowd collision was actually going to break out into explosions of hope. That's what happens when you have a collision, you have an explosion. But I want to suggest to you this whole story in Luke 7 is explosions of hope. The first one is in the funeral itself. And we see here something unusual because Jesus, unasked and unsolicited, steps into this funeral procession. Most miracles that Jesus participates in is in a response to an ask, in response to a supplication. Teacher, come, we need you. Jesus, come here. My servant is sick. My daughter is dying. Jesus, come, come, come. But this was an unusual event because no one asked him to come. No one asked him, invited him in this desperate and lonely time. Probably that whole morning crowd would have said, well, why? It would never even occur to us to ask, because death is death. And it was that procession that was leading out, and Jesus comes and unasked and unsolicited steps into this procession of death. You know, you might ask, or we might ask, why did you do that, Jesus? Was it because you were surrounded by jubilant supporters? Was it because there was an atmosphere of faith and excitement? Was it because the whole crowd following you, Jesus, behind you, as you were going into that city, were at that moment following you with astonishment because of recent healings? Were they following you because they couldn't leave you? They were wondering what was going to happen next. Were they convinced that you could heal? Were they convinced, we don't know what Jesus can do, but we are staying with him because anything is possible? If they're standing there, and the contrast would be unbelievable at these city gates, because here we have an excited crowd surging into the middle of a devastated crowd, a longing for a future with Jesus on one side, and a losing the future on another side. This, though, beloved, I want to put to you, was not a collision of human experiences. It was not a collision of emotions, what was happening. Because I want to put to you that this scene of these two surging crowds coming together, one of life and one of death, is a scene so beyond a miracle. When Jesus, unasked, showed up, he was now witnessing the very nature of God himself. He was expressing who God is to his people. In John 1:3, it says this, "And all things were made by him," that is Jesus, "and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness understood it not." Every human being has been made in the image of God. And everything that we can see and not see, hidden and obvious, has been made by Jesus for Jesus. But we see Jesus stepping into this funeral procession. I see the longing of the heart of God shown through Jesus at this moment. And this longing is, he is life itself. He is light itself. He who created light is light. He who created life is life. And his mission on earth, yes, was a cross, so that whosoever will could be reconciled to God and have peace with God. But Jesus is so full of life, and he is so full of light. And he knew within himself was the power to smash sin and death in his beloved. And I believe we, his people, are his passion. Jesus physically walking this earth is filled with passion and compassion for the people he made in his own image. He had agreed to go to a cross, and it was all in the timing. But in him, he was so full of life and an unfailing love that it just flowed out of him, unasked and unbidden of those mourners, this crowd of death, those that were plunged in despair, that couldn't even summon enough faith to think of calling on God at this moment, feeling that everything was done and sealed and even beyond the hand of God. He was going to fulfill the plan of his father, but his compassion for this young man, this grieving mother, and this crowd defined by darkness and depression was going to draw out of him this life. In him is life, and the life is the light of men, humanity. And this light shone in the utter darkness of death. And this life and this light flows out of him. Hallelujah. And at his choosing, this life and this light appears. And sometimes he just shows up without being asked. Sometimes we think we're canceled. We've canceled him out because of the darkness we can be plunged into. Sometimes even knowing in our minds and our hearts he is good and that he loves us, the enemy can cloud the truth. And the enemy can push us for so many reasons into this vat of depression and despairing where we can be grieving. We can be going through things that we don't have a name to it. We can't even give good reasons for it. Perhaps except we are loved by him, chosen by him, and the enemy is so raging. He knows it hurts the heart of God when he hurts us. We don't understand all of it in our sickness, in our hopelessness, but I'm telling you, sometimes just unasked, Jesus is that good, so full of life and love towards us, he just shows up. I remember another, it says in the scripture that one time Jesus was walking through a crowd when he stopped the whole crowd. I spoke of it one time here and he goes, who touched me? Somebody touched me. I just felt virtue. That means power, authority, wealth, like an army, powerful. Heaven cracked open and something went right through me and touched a woman behind him who was touching the hem of his garment. She was not seen to the physical Jesus. Of course I know God knows everything and he sees us all. But sometimes in these pictures, it shows us that we can reach out and touch him. And it's like we set his heart and the love and the life in him in motion in a powerful way. I want to show you not just the explosion of hope that he burst into that funeral unasked, but now there was an explosion of hope with this widow. Jesus is moved by the pain and the loneliness, the despair of this woman. He was not asking her questions about her son's death before giving compassion to her. He was not interrogating her to see if she deserved a miracle. He was not musing out loud, wondering, did anyone here was worthy of God's intervention? He doesn't ask pointed questions on why did a young man die? He didn't say, was he a notable sinner? He didn't ask, did he die by his own hand? Did he die by an overdose? Was she a bad parent? Had she committed some grievous sins and now some kind of karma was being visited on her? No, no questions, just compassion, just love. And he says to her, weep not, verse 13, don't cry. And that would be so presumptuous, disrespectful and arrogant for anyone to say to this widow, now bereaved of her only son, if it had been anyone else who told her not to cry except Jesus. Because this is not anyone. This is the author of life speaking to her. So he has her full attention. And he walks over and he touches that open coffin. And under Jewish law, Jesus is now considered ritually unclean. And perhaps some in the crowd, disappointed that such a great teacher would actually, he should have known better. I mean, any religious man would know that you don't touch anything dead. And he had broken a religious law. And in their minds, now he's compromised. Now he can't do anything. But at his command, he's going to raise the dead. He's going to prove that he is sinless, that he is perfect, that he is uncorruptible, that sin, which is corruption itself, has no place in him. There is no part dark in him. He is only life. He is only light, and it's pouring through him in this amazing way. And he has conquered sin and death. And one touch from his hand, death gives way to life. And now we have another explosion of hope, the young man. And Jesus had something to say to this young man. I hope there are young men and young women and women in this place. Jesus has something to say to you. And it is about life, and it is about light. Some think the dead can't hear you, but Jesus knew he was heard. And he says in verse 14, young man, I say unto you, arise, wake up, get up, because my command to you is you can. I have the authority, so I give you the ability to rise from the dead. This is the Jesus who belongs to us. This is the Jesus who gave himself for us that we may have life, eternal life, abundant life, spiritual life, death-defying life. Hallelujah. And verse 15 says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now I ask you, and started talking. I went, okay, what was a man who was just dead and sits up and starts speaking? What is he saying? What does a man who was just dead sits up and starts speaking? You talk about an explosion of hope, not just in the funeral, not just for the widow, but for this young man. He that was dead began to speak and started talking. Hallelujah. In death, we face God. And God is truth. So he was speaking truth. Pastor Carter says he was given empowered speech. That's what he said to me. He was speaking what he saw. He was speaking what he heard. He was speaking as God speaks. And I was just wondering, what did he say when he sat up? And I feel like it went something. He might have been saying something that sounds like this. I've seen him. And God is real. He is beyond description, and he loves us. There is a glory in the heavens beyond telling. He is perfection, and he loves us. He has a home for us. He's prepared a home for us. He's in control of everything, and he loves us. Everything there longs to worship him, and he loves us. And death is not our future. Life is, because he loves us. Hallelujah. I think he was saying, have faith and have hope, because the best is yet to come. Have faith and have hope, because he is a living Savior and he loves us. There is no death he cannot touch. There is no darkness he cannot reach with his light. This is what sets us apart, because in him is life, and in him is the light of man, and he lives in us. And there is something supernatural that the enemy for a season can hope to cloud, hope to lie to us. But hang on, beloved, because Jesus is committed to our life, our spiritual life. He wants to touch every dead place that this world has tried to shut down, that this world has tried to lie to us. Hold on to Jesus, because he shows up unbidden sometimes just because we need him to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like that's what he spoke. I think what he was singing was, I'm dancing on the grave that once held me bound. I'm dancing on the chains that are laying on the ground. I'm dancing out the dark and I'm lighting up the night. Your joy becomes my weapon and I am here to fight. I want to tell you something. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is raising an army here, a spiritual army. And he's going to teach us how to war, not carnal weapons, but he's going to teach our hands to fight, our fingers to fight. That means prayer. That means praise. That means saying, no matter what I feel, you are greater and you are good. We are being spiritually trained to stand in an hour when darkness is all around, but he will be faithful and light you and I up at the darkest time in the darkest moment. He is that good. In him is life that cannot be extinguished by the lies of the devil, by even our own failings and fear. He is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another explosion of hope is the crowd. No longer two distinct crowds. They have now been unified. It's not two crowds, it's one. And that one crowd now is awestruck. It says in verse 16, it says, and a fear of God came upon them. An awe, a reverence came on them all, and they glorified God. They glorified him. Beloved, I'm telling you, God is going to be faithful to touch the dead among us, to even touch the dead parts among us for the glory of God. Hang on. Be constant. Be faithful. God is worth it. He is worth it. And the believers just doubled in size. And the Lord, I believe that's going to be true for this place, Times Square Church, that God is going to double the believers here. And he's going to double us in hope. And he's going to double us in size. He's going to take every situation and cause it to be an opportunity for an explosion of hope in us when we should have no hope. That's who he is. And that's how good he is. I hope you're hearing me tonight on how Jesus creates explosions of hope. Hallelujah. Finally, there was an explosion of hope towards the mother. And he, verse 15 says, and he delivered him to his mother. It's very close to Mother's Day. And I am moved that Jesus' love and compassion served this woman first. This young man undoubtedly would have wanted to follow Jesus immediately, of course, and he will, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus delivered him to his mother, and that's prophetic. He committed him to her care, her spiritual care. And I want to say this to every praying mother today on the eve of Mother's Day. Your prayers may feel weak, sometimes perhaps strong, sometimes unheard, sometimes with tears, sometimes with concern. But let me assure you that the unfailing love of Jesus Christ will never fail you, nor those you love. Keep on praying for your sons and your daughters. If you've been praying for months, if you've been praying for years, if you've been praying for decades, why stop now? Jesus shows up unexpectedly. Why invest all those years of praying only to falter now? The more you have prayed, beloved, listen to me. I don't know how this works, but the more determined you become to pray, because you know that pleases God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We wait on God, and our prayers, listen to this. It was so good, I wrote it down twice. We wait on God, and our prayers get weightier. It's because some of our prayers that we prayed at the beginning, they're too small. We haven't prayed big enough prayers. We've prayed God save them. Now we're saying, God, make them mighty in your kingdom. By waiting on God, we are showing, Lord, your delay is not denial, that you have a plan. There is a perfectness to what you do. And I will wait on you because you're the Lord and I am not. And I will wait on you because let all heaven and earth declare there is someone who said, you are worth waiting for. They are worth, oh God, my waiting on you. And I will not give up praying because you're a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. Any mother, grandmother, sister, scripture is full of examples of praying women in the face of impossible odds who received a miracle. A dead son or daughter becoming a living one in God. That's why scripture says women receive their dead back to life again in Hebrews. A faith that overcomes death. As we wait on him, as we love to teach at the school, waiting time is not wasted time. We wait on him, and there is going to be an explosion of hope. It is a persevering faith that pleases the Lord. Our waiting declares not only is he the Lord, but we believe the scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord renew our strength. In other words, we have the ability to grow more tenacious and more convinced that God is going to do a mighty work because he causes the dead to live, and we will not let go of that. Luke 7 is not a one-time story for a one-time grieving woman, but it is a story for your family and my family, for your legacy and my legacy. And Jesus delivered him to his mother and committed him to her. I tell you, mothers in Zion, your prayers are not in vain. Lovingly, I say to you, if you have stopped asking Jesus for your sons and your daughters, your spiritual sons and your spiritual daughters, this death is not beyond his touch. It is not beyond hope. Jesus steps up into this funeral unasked, uninvited, when very little faith left. And Jesus is encouraging us. I promise you, that's not a one-time thing in Luke 7. I will show up in this procession of death. I will touch your sons and your daughters. Beloved, the longer we live in this earth, there comes a yearning. Oh, God, let us have a mercy moment. Sweep over places of death that the hand of man cannot touch or change. Sweep over places that are beyond our ability to control or repair. Sweep over those places that are so broken down. We have no one else but you, Lord, but you are willing. You are willing because of your great love, your great love. This is why you will answer this prayer. Keep praying. Let's get out of the funeral parade and let's get in the parade of life that Jesus is leading. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is nothing but explosions of hope in this story in very surprising ways. And I think that for many who are battling somehow a spiritual malaise, something that wants to sit on your spirit and depress you and fill you with a hopelessness. May this story of Luke 11:7 remind us that Jesus steps in and stops the funeral and touches those who are dead to life, and he will do it again. There are unknown reasons why we fight what we fight, but I know that God will be faithful. I know his love for us. I know that there's going to be testimonies of young men and young women, just with the same as this young man. They're going to sit up and they're going to start talking the wonderful works of God. They're going to have a testimony of how God met them in the utter darkness when there was no hope. And he's going to do it for us tonight who are believing for them and believing with them. You know, I have the great privilege of leading your Bible school. And I promise you, year after year, I see Jesus showing up within our midst. And these young people arrive dead in sin and darkness. And I see by the Spirit of God, when they begin to understand that Jesus loves them, they are raised to life. When they are touched by a God who commits to them and loves them, beloved, they are raised to life. So I thank God for that. I thank God. Please keep sending them to us. Please keep praying for them. God is not finished with this generation yet, nor is he finished with us. I want to say tonight, if you are feeling tonight a spiritual resistance against what you are believing for, if you are feeling a dark cloud of trying to take your hope in your vision, if you feel opposed, if you feel like the battle at times is becoming heavy and long, first of all, I thank God you're in this house of worship and a house of prayer, because I'm telling you, miracles happen in a place like this. But I thank God that the love of Jesus Christ will break through the death and touch us when we're at our lowest. I promise this is how he gets glory, because when we can't help ourselves, he shows up and he halts the parade of death. Hallelujah. He will be faithful to us. He will be faithful to those that you have spiritual custody over. He will be faithful to this generation, because we're not going out with a whimper. We're going out filled with the Holy Ghost, with fiery tongues, proclaiming the goodness of God and the power of God. We're going to be touched tonight. So if you need a supernatural infusion of hope, if you feel your situation, your spiritual life, or your loved ones are in need of the touch of the vivifying life and light of Jesus Christ, this is the night God will supernaturally touch us and change us. Hallelujah. The love of Jesus Christ is so willing, we don't have to beg him for this. It flowed out of him at that funeral, unasked. It flowed out of him, because in him is life and the light of man. So he will do it again. He did it in Luke 7. He will do it in this place tonight. This altar is open. I'm going to ask you if you will stand with me tonight. And I'm going to ask you to join me at the altar for those that are saying, God, I want that infusion and explosion of hope again. I commit to you places and to people that the devil has been saying is dead and it's beyond any touch of God. Tonight, we defy him by the word of God, lit up by the Spirit of God, who will give us hope again. Jesus says, I am invading this darkness with my light. He's saying, get out of the parade of death. And as we come, I pray you be given a revelation of the love of Jesus Christ for you. A revelation of the love of Jesus Christ for those you are believing God to touch again. Join us as we worship. Hallelujah. Come out quickly. Come quickly. Come. Don't be so proud. Come. He is willing. Hallelujah.
You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Lord Jesus, I pray for those who don't feel they're worthy for a miracle. Thank you, you led out with compassion and power. You have come to bless them. None of us are worthy or deserving, but you love us because you created us and we're made in your image. So breathe on us, breath of God. And those that have felt so undeserving for a miracle, oh God, I thank you. You led out with compassion. You showed up and took them out of a parade of death and put them in a parade of life to return to the city under the power and unction of God. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling spiritually opposed, who don't understand why the despair, don't understand why the fight, oh God. I thank you tonight you've shown me there are, Lord, those people here are mighty men and women of faith, and they are being trained in the day of adversity. You have come to bless them, oh God. You have come to bless them. You have come to bless them. And I thank you with the spiritual strength, you will be faithful to them. Lord, we are changed when we are visited by your life and your light in places of great darkness. This is how your church rises in the power of the Spirit. For we know that this power is not of ourselves, but it is you in us rising. I thank you, oh God, you've come to bless those that are spiritually opposed. For those that are feeling so in despair, for those that are feeling the depression and the loneliness, your compassion will lead out tonight. You will break the bondage. I thank you. They will rise from that grave of death of saying that I am unloved and unseen. No, you are not. You are seen, you are loved, and you are chosen. I thank you for a quickening of the Spirit because you are putting them on their feet. No man can raise them up but your Spirit, Lord Jesus, because you love them, because you love them and you are with them. You are raising them up, Lord. They have no idea the plans you have for them and the purpose for their lives. It is revealed only in the Spirit. So raise them up, oh God, and touch them and break off supernaturally the spirits of despair, depression, and loneliness. Visit them, oh God. Let them rise, oh God, to be grateful and thankful. Open their mouths to speak of the goodness of God. Break off a spirit of intimidation. Lord, you are as close as the mention of your name, and you are a life-giving force. Touch them now with spiritual life and let them rise up from that grave, oh God, in power of the Spirit. I thank you for that. Your love never fails, and you will not fail them. Lord, I pray for those that are praying for this generation. Do not let them lose heart. Do not let them lose heart for their sons and their daughters, their grandchildren, oh God. You are willing to be gracious to us, and you will show up, oh God. I thank you, Lord. Put heart in us to become warriors, oh God, to fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. There will be a day they will be strong, but till that day, keep us strong in the power of the Spirit because you love them and you've not abandoned this generation. So I thank you tonight. Let explosions of hope because of the love of Jesus Christ, who is full of life and light and is our hope, be upon us. Let it go home with us. Comfort us in the midnight hour and give us strength to face the day. For you are with us, you are for us, and you are in us, and you have never lost a battle. To God be the glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and your life. And all those that have received this, can we just give him a shout of praise tonight? For he is worthy.